I'm Shelley Irwin. Weekly, we focus on the work of area individuals and organizations advancing equity in our community. This morning, we speak with Jenny Rosario, an attorney with Justice for Our Neighbors, providing pro bono legal services to vulnerable immigrants living in Michigan communities. And, of course, joining the discussion is WGVU Grants Manager Steve Chappell, a weekly segment that's part of a grant from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. So, mic check. Good morning to you, Jenny.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, Shelley Irwin, and good morning, Jenny.
Steve, would you provide us that brief overview, please?
Yes, absolutely. As you alluded to, Shelley, this segment on inclusion and equity is part of a multi-year grant in partnership with the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, and WGVU and our partners are not only most appreciative of the critical funding that they provide to carry out the work, but we're just as appreciative of their strategic vision on a worldwide basis, focusing on how to make a more equitable world. And we are approaching that in a couple of ways. We have an inclusion reporter who reports on, quite frankly, the inequities in our community and giving a voice to those individuals and organizations who typically don't have the same platform. And then secondly, we are trying to build capacity in our community, and therefore we have partnered with leaders of color and provided training in three areas: decolonization of the narrative, community organizing as a distribution strategy, and media skills. We then have provided platforms so these leaders of color can take their training and produce content with and for communities of color. And so we try to make it and approach this in an equitable fashion for all residents, including the many immigrants, refugees, and asylees that call Grand Rapids home. I believe the statistic, and Jenny can check me on this, is about 10% of the population are made up by immigrants, refugees, and asylees. Some of those come here with medical degrees. Some are children who come here after losing their entire families to war. And also, statistics show that without the immigrants and refugees and helping accommodate them in our community, we would be lacking in a labor force. The statistics show that 6.8% of Grand Rapids population were immigrants, but yet they account for 13.3% of its manufacturers' workers, and that's a statistic put out by the New American Economy, the bipartisan research and advocacy organization. There are a number of organizations that help refugees, immigrants, and asylees assimilate into our community, and they range from Bethany Christian Services, and well, the list is we'll get into that, but it also includes Justice for Our Neighbors that provides pro bono legal services to vulnerable immigrants living in Michigan communities. So we're delighted that Jenny Rosario, a staff attorney, can join us this morning.
Jenny, would you share the mission of JFO and maybe an overview of the range of services provided?
Absolutely. So JFON or JFON, it stands for Justice for Our Neighbors, and we are the branch that's here in Michigan. It started 15 years ago as a ministry from a First United Methodist Church right here in downtown Grand Rapids. And our mission statement is Justice for Our Neighbors, Michigan welcomes and supports immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers through legal services and social actions.
Wow. Steve.
And so
I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. Go ahead, Jenny.
And so if we break down our mission statement, the legal services that we provide, it's a humanitarian relief. We help people who have been victims of human trafficking or violent crimes. We focus on family reunification, where people apply for their spouses, children's, or parents. And, of course, we do naturalization applications and some removal defense.
Jenny, this is Steve. I'd like to get into a little bit about the entire integration process. That really is quite an involved process. if you can think of an immigrant refugee or asylee coming into our country, they have to get used to a new culture. And that might involve getting used to food that they're not quite accustomed to, or entering the job market. They come here with language barriers, some without citizenship. And so if you could describe a little bit about the individuals, the families, that what they're facing when they reach out to you or you find them and provide services. And I'd like you to do that in light of some tragedies that the entire country is facing right now. If we look at the COVID pandemic affecting untold lives in this country and the unrest that we've seen, you know, refugees, immigrants, and asylees come here. They're trying to assimilate. Some face discrimination. So can you give us a profile of a few types of individuals that you may be able to assist?
Absolutely. I think, you know, of course, every immigrant's journey is unique in how they come to America. But we serve the population of Kent County whose income is 200% at or below the poverty level. And so their journey, a lot of times, it's been punctuated with war, persecution, rape. The immigrants, they've navigated sometimes multiple countries, schools, and cultures. And then when they arrive here in the United States, they're often struggling with other issues, such as, you know, of course, they're poor. They have all the indignities of poverty, hunger, housing insecurity, financial literacy. And then we're asking them to navigate this very complex immigration system where they may not speak the language. And then in light of the recent pandemic, they've been faced with a whole new challenge now, in that we used to be able to see clients in person, walk them through the process, but now we have to do everything virtually. And of course, a lot of our clients do not have the tech savvy, the computer equipment, or you know, even just things as simple as internet access, so that we can help them. And so then those clients, and they're faced with, you know, the hard choice. It's, do they violate social distancing rules and risk coronavirus infection, you know, or do they maintain their social distancing and risk losing their legal status?
I'd like to mention, there was a report done a number of years ago, a study commissioned by the Dyer Ives Foundation in 2003, but it's also very timely, even though it's 17 years old. It's called New Neighbors, New Opportunities, Immigrants and Refugees in Grand Rapids. And it points out that between 1990 and 2000, the population of Grand Rapids was actually on the decline by nearly 4,600 residents, but they gained 13,000 newcomers in the form of immigrants, refugees, and asylees, and that a recent Ernst & Young study that they pointed out that these individuals coming here facing a lot of barriers were a key driving force in economic growth. And so, you know, the adjustment that you just talked about, facing language barriers, persecution, and so forth, I think this community is very lucky indeed to have organizations like Bethany, Catholic Human Development Outreach, Lutheran Social Services, the Hispanic Center of West Michigan, Voices for Health, and Justice for Our Neighbors to help this very complex integration process. And by the way, thank you for sharing a little bit about who you help. I would like to share with our listeners, you have a very content-rich webpage where they can actually read about individuals and stories about people that are helped by Justice for Our Neighbors. And they can go to JFONMI. So that's just the initials for Justice for Our Neighbors, JFONMI.org, and learn about your services, your mission, and so forth. So what are the primary ways that Justice for Our Neighbors can get somebody on the road, either through their complex legal journey or to be more acclimated? Can you dive into a little bit more about your services?
Yeah, absolutely. Something I think that's really important that we do is we offer education to our greater community and as well as immigrants. We go into local high schools, churches, even some grade schools, and we talk about what it means to be an immigrant, and we do a lot of myth busting, which I think is very important about, you know, everybody who comes to the United States is an illegal, and, you know, immigrants take our jobs and don't contribute to the economy, and, you know, and actually, and we educate them and tell them, you know, immigrants, you know, in the average year, they contribute, I think, almost over $11 billion in taxes. They contribute to Social Security, and an immigrant is actually two times more likely to create a business and offer jobs to new people than somebody who's been who was born here.
Jenny, what does your future look like when it comes to JFON, J-F-O-N, with about 4 minutes left?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please?
What's the future of JFON, and what do you need from the community?
Well, I'm very excited about three ministries we're working with. We're partnering right now with the Pride Center. Immigrants of the LGBTQ community, they face, you know, an intersectional oppression where they have to combat not only racism, xenophobia, and heterosexism. And so they've often been persecuted in their home country, or they've been the victim of human trafficking. So we meet them either at the Pride Center, at JFON, and we try to create a community that's a safe place and is also, you know, culturally sensitive to them. We're also working with the Legge Foundation in Samaritas, where we assist refugees in obtaining their legal permanent resident status. We have a Department of Justice representative whose main focus is to work with and assist our refugees. And we also partner with Intersection Ministries, which holds ESL classes and citizenship classes. Once those students have finished their citizenship classes, the clients that qualify for our services are referred to us, and we help them become citizens.
Steve, what's your last question for Jenny?
Well, I guess my last question is twofold. Number one, I'll just reiterate what Shelley just asked. How can the community help? Because I know that there are a number of very good organizations, many that you partner with, so there's organizational help. So I guess my question is, how can people help? And also, I just want to state that and reiterate what you just said, that these individuals that we help, asylees, immigrants, refugees, are a key part of keeping our community strong and competitive in a global economy. They buy homes. These individuals that come here to, in some cases, start their lives over, start businesses, like you said. So I guess my question is, how can individuals that want to help do so? How can they reach out to your center, ways that you think that they can get involved in other ways?
Jenny, and we just have about a minute and a half, if so.
Sure. You can learn more about JFON Michigan at our website, jfonmi.org. And while you're on the website, please go to the section called Meet Our Donors. These are the people whose generosity makes our work for immigrants possible, and perhaps your listeners would like to join them.
Nice. Thank you for your great words and for the way that we can continue following your path. Jenny Rosario, Staff Attorney, Justice for Our Neighbors, Michigan. Steve Chappell.
Yes, I want to thank Jenny Rosario, representing Justice for Our Neighbors, as a staff attorney. I certainly want to invite you back, Jenny. There are many areas that we need to dig deeper in to examine ways that we can help our neighbor, because many of our neighbors are those individuals that seek your help, that seek our help, that strengthen our community. I also want to reiterate that your website may be found by going to jfonmi.org. and you can learn all about your organization. And if any of our valued listeners have missed any part of this interview with Jenny Rosario, a little bit later today, go to WGBU Radio News page under Mutually Inclusive. You can listen to this interview with Jenny in its entirety.
Thank you, Steve Chappell, WGBU Grants Manager, and Jenny, for your time.